Okay, so last week we got towards the end. Oh. Got towards the end of what did we get up to? The end of Siman Resh Ayin. The end of Siman Resh Ayin Beis. So we did something. Talked about it somewhat quickly, but I think we'll revisit it because I actually saw sort of an answer, or maybe not. I'm not sure. So we talked about the last sif, which actually we didn't do inside, but actually let's just do it in the Shulchan Aruch. So if you're in the source sheet, that would be found on page 5 or 4, I would bet. Yes, page 4 in the source sheet. So sif dalet. So there, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Kishu yigmur es haTorah, tzarech sheyigmur beemtza shita." That you want to finish in the middle of the line, shebesof hadaf. At the end of the page, at the end of that column, at the bot, in the middle of the line, at the end of the page. Nishar min hadaf, shitin harbe. And if you have a lot of lines left over, meaning you realize you're not going to make it, mekatzer v'ola. You can make them shorter and get them to, make the columns skinnier, right? Umachlu mitchilas hashita shebesof hadaf, velo yigmur es hashita. You'll shorten both sides of the column such that Le'inei Kol Yisrael will be in the middle of the page. The Rama adds in a line there. He says, Va'osa osios aruchos, and you should make longer letters, mimata lamala, from top to bottom, k'deshetichsik teva achas dalad heishitin. That one letter will take up four or five lines. You just make the words very large, so that way it will look appropriate. I wasn't able, not that I have like many svarim on Maseches Menachos, but I wasn't able to find anyone who actually like explained this. Like, what exactly are we attempting to accomplish here? Although there is a prisha, I think, that makes a comment that sort of looks like an ending. Now, it's a little bit of a machlokas, which looks more like the ending. Because the Gemara itself has a machlokas. Should Yisrael end at the end of the line, or should end in the middle? Torah end at the end of the line, or Torah end in the middle of the line, which is preferable. But it could be that they're both being motivated by the same idea, that it looks more final when it ends either at the end of the line or in the middle of the line. I mean, that could be what the machlokas is about. But what... Yeah, so last week there was not so much a number of letters, but more of the size. We talked about that in terms of the length of the size, but even that wasn't so. Most of these halachos are found on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph in Maseches Menachos. That's the daf where all these things are found, and it's actually a very halachic daf. There's not much discussion, it's sort of like just the halachic positions. But there is also, it's unclear how much of this is ma'akev. It could be very little of it is actually ma'akev. Some is, as we'll see. But a lot of it is not necessarily required. So Menachos, Maseches Menachos, yeah. In the middle of dealing with what?
That's the Mincha.
The Korban Mincha, yes. Right. What's it doing there? So there's a discussion there about what's there's a Mishnah that mentions different aspects of the Korban Mincha about what's ma'akev on each other. Meaning, if you have this part and don't have that part, does it work or does it not work? And from there, there's a discussion about tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad. And then it talks about mezuzos, sifrei Torah, and tzitzis are all. But tzitzis is also because whether tchelis is ma'akiv the lavan, whether if you don't have tchelis, does the whole mitzvah go away or not? So all of those topics are actually found in Maseches Menachos of all places. Daf like Chaf Hey through Daf Lamed Hey Mem, I think past Mem. I mean, it's a good amount over there. And then there is other stuff.
It's just an issue for everyone at the end of the Torah.
So this happens to be a discussion at the end of the Torah, but I'm sort of using this to jump off and discuss another issue, right? And the Shach quotes this as well. The Shachet Zivav says, Afal pish ein b'pasuk ha'achron tevos k'minyan hashitos, yasa osios aruchos mimata l'mala. That even though the last pasuk, you don't have enough, meaning the implication of the Gemara was that you got to the last column and you had one pasuk left. So the Shach says, hey, wait a second, what are we talking about here that you're going to get one pasuk in on that last column? To which the Shach responds by saying, well, you know, if you make the letters bigger, you'll be all right. You'll be able to cover it that way. So last week at the end, we had a discussion that this is not so practical. I mean, now it comes up with every Sefer Torah, but it's not like something. Nowadays, every Sefer Torah pretty much comes out the same way, actually somewhat based on a Ramah at the end of this Siman that we probably won't get to tonight. And it's all written, I don't really know the history of this, but somebody came up in the last century or so, like the Tikkun that everybody would use, and everybody is pretty much writing Sefer Torah the same way, out of the same text nowadays. So it's a little hard to imagine like how this would happen, that you're going to get to the last column and, oh, look at that, I was off by a pasuk, right? That's not really going to happen. But there is a discussion that we talked about last week in Hilchos Megillah that in Hilchos Megillah where the where there's an issue with regards to the Aseres Bnei Haman, because the Gemara tells us that the first word on the line needs to be Ish, and the last word on the column needs to be Aseres. And if you're going to do that, that means that you're limiting yourself to 10 lines, or 11 lines. You're limiting yourself to an 11-line column. So there are those that suggest, according to the... So the Vilna Gaon says... He says, well, that can't be, because our Megillahs are not that size. Our Megillahs are, the Masorah used to be 42 or 48 lines. I saw this someplace today. And if you look at the older Megillahs, like in our shul, the older ones are all 42 or 48 lines. Those are the two you could get. Nowadays, they're all like 22 or 28 or so. The nicer HaMelech Megillahs are all that size. Doesn't seem like there's any source for it. Again, people are following a previous text. I mean, someone wrote a Megillah and... you know, it worked out. So that became the text that everybody would use going forward. So the only issue, so the Gra said, is that that it must be that text is didn't mean the first word on the line needs to be Ish. Rather, it means the first word on the first word on the column. Rather, it just means the first word on the line needs to be Ish, and the last word on the line and the last word in the column needs to be Aseres. Why? How did the Vilna Gaon know that? He said, was the Vilna Gaon said that there's no source that if you're going to say that it needs to be one column, that means the column's only going to be 11 lines. And it can't be that, and we don't it can't be that it's going to be only 11 lines when every other column is going to be 40 lines. And we don't have any Mesorah, we don't have any tradition. That's what the Biurik Ra says in Hilchos Megillah. We don't have any tradition that that you have some letters that are bigger than others. So nowadays most Megillahs, if you get a standard 22 or 28 line Megillah, right, it's 22 or 28 lines. And when you get up to the Aseres Bnei Haman, it's 11 lines and every line is twice as big, right? You just have every letter is twice as big. So the Vilna Gaon said, we don't have a tradition for that. So rather, the Vilna Gaon said, you'll just have 42 lines, and these will be the last 11 lines on one of the columns. Okay? So there are things on the market today called the Vilna Gaon Megillahs, Gra Megillahs, which, as we said, probably the Vilna Gaon did not have a Vilna Gaon Megillah, but they're known as the Megillahs of the Shitas HaGra, which are 11 lines throughout the entire Megillah. Right? So it's going to end up being a lot longer, but not as high, because they're only going to be 11 lines. So that way you can have the first word on the line be, on the column be Ish, the last word on in the column be Aseres, and you don't have to expand the letters for it to be the same size as the other columns, because every column is going to be 11 letters. That's what's known as the Gra Megillah. So I just pointed out at the end of last week that the Vilna Gaon said we don't have any Mesorah to change the words of the letters, the size of the letters, but here you have Mesorah, here you have, you seem to at least, the Shach at least signs off on the idea that in order to get the last column of the Torah to the bottom, he advocates writing bigger letters so that you'll be able to fill up the entire column, right? So that seems to be a some basis, at least, to set up a Megillah in that way. So if you look at the source sheet, what did you just put up here, Sam? Oh, Sam just posted a Megillah here. Do I have to download it, or can I just open it? No,
I guess I'm... click on it. It says save and then open file.
There we go. Okay. Yeah, very good. Right. So the first word on the line is Ish. The last word on the line is Aseres. And you see every column is twice as big as the letters in the other columns. Right? Is that's your Megillah, Sam, or you just found the picture?
I wish. Because I just found a picture.
Okay. Fine. So says the it's interesting also, we talked about patches, right? You see there the Aleph and the Vav, that's a patch. That's what they call a matlas. It was filled in at some point. It looks like there's also some water damage as well. Alright, so anyways, so the so I saw in the Sefer Maseches, what do we got here? Maseches Tzitzis Tfilin Mezuzah and Sefer Torah from Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Now, the top of the page is from a different text. In all honesty, I'm not sure which text. I haven't figured it out yet, which text. I think different ones of these are from different texts. But he does have a section here, which I put on the source sheet at the end, where he talks about the end of the Sefer Torah, right? So on in the source sheet page, what, 7, 8, whatever the...
7,
okay? So he says there... Ayin Beklaf, right? So at the bottom, right, you see he has two different commentaries. One he calls Klaf and one he calls Duchsustus. So now we know what those concepts are. So he says, Ayin Beklaf, Sheivanu, Sheyasa, Osios, Aruchos, Machsi, Kamashitin, Kede, Sheyigmur, Besofadaf, Kinkas, Tosus, Menachos, right? V'shulchan Aruch, period. So, Vakasha, so, right, there's an idea of having bigger letters. So he says, but wait a second. Echitiru lasos osios aruchos. How could you make larger letters? Hare hagra, doesn't the Vilna Gaon in Orachayim tzoik ala osin aseres pene haman osios gedolos? Don't you see that in Orachayim, in Hilchos Megillah, that the Vilna Gaon yells about people that make large letters in their Megillah? Kdelasos ish barosh daf, ovi aseres besof daf, in order to have ish at the top and have aseres on the bottom. Kedisa b'Yerushalmi, Masech HaSofrin. So v'tan ha'gra, di'evshar la'soskin, you can't do that. The ein zemi osios gedolos shenistum b'mesorbus, we don't have large letters in the mesorim Sinai. V'asar la'sos osios gedolos yoster me'hanim nimsham ve'ich mutu la'soskan. Right? So the Vilna Gaon says it. Therefore, you're not allowed to do it. So therefore, how can you do it here? Right? So it's, in fact, the opposite question of the way I asked it. Right? My question was, right, the Vilna Gaon says it's prohibited, but yet here you see the Shach says it's okay, so at least you see a tradition. The Rav Chaim says, the way the Rav Chaim questions it is, obviously the Vilna Gaon knew that Shach, right? So the Vilna Gaon would not have said something against the Shach, so how could the Shach say it if the Vilna Gaon says it's usher to do, right? Which is going a little bit opposite in chronological order there, right? But anyways, that's the way he poses the question. How could it be the Shach said you can make large letters when the Vilna Gaon says you're not allowed to? So, you know, I would say, well, plus the Vilna Gaon wasn't going to be alive for another 150 years. But anyways, it's the same question, right? That the Vilna Gaon says you can't do such a thing, and the Shach says you can. So why, I mean, if Yonah Gross could come up with that answer, so obviously the Vilna Gaon would think about it as well. So he says, well, I am ben Mordechai perek hakomet simin tuf kuf nun dalid. Shekasov sheish lifsol kisha osa osios ketanos ogedolos sheish litus behen shemi osios shehim alachem ushemi sinai the dinam lios ketanos ogedolos. That first he says we have a problem with making some letters larger and some smaller because there's a Mordechai that says you can't make some letters larger and some smaller because some people might get confused and think that that's some kind of mesorah from alachem ushemi sinai to make some letters smaller and larger. What's he talking about? So we do have some letters in the Torah that are traditionally smaller. In fact, three of them are on the page that Sam showed before from the Megillah. The Tuf in Parshandata and the Shin in Parmashta, and there's one more, and the Zion in Vaizasa, right? And there's a whole story in at ish.com about why that is, right? about the Nuremberg trials. That's like the end of the, that's like the grand finale of the Bible codes class at Aish, is in understanding what those three things are. What? Discovery class, right? The Torah codes class of the discovery class. I think that's their. They talk about that. But anyways, and there are other ones, right? The Aleph in Vayikra, or the Beis in Bereishis, right? The Beis, the first letter of the Torah, is small or large.
No, you have an equal rum.
What?
Okay.
Anyway, so he says he can't just make some letters large and some small. So he says, after the kanchu besofa sefer, he says, but here it's the end of the sefer. Everybody knows exactly why you're doing it, right? Yadu she'in zemi osus gedolz v'lo asakein el lahashlim besofa daf, right? If you see it at the end of the thing, everybody knows it's not because you are making some letters bigger than others, but it's because it's the end of the page. As opposed to it would be the Aseres Pnei Haman, which are in the middle of the sefer. He says that's going to be much worse, because people are going to think that those letters are purposely large or halachically large when there's really no halach that they should be large. Right? I would point out in the picture that that Sam made, the yud, the small letters of the Aseres Pnei Haman are pretty close in approximation to the letters of the rest of the Megillah, right? I don't know if that's a problem or not, but anyways. So that's answered. The three small letters in Aseres Pnei Haman are the same font size, are also a size 16 times New Roman, right? And that matches up with the other 16, or should I say, Ksav Ashuris, which is the same as the same font size as the rest of the as the rest of the Megillah. But okay, So that's answer number one. Odish Lami says another suggestion is the Chola Osios Hagdolos Srichen Shiu Gedolim Bein Ba'archan Bein Barachman, that the issue is not that if you're going to make a large letter, it needs to be large both in height and width. As the Mishnah Berurah says, Nor Chaim, in the Siman Lamed Beis, V'Shem Magen Avram, the Das the Echad Tzricha Lios Gedola Kedalid Delatin Umistama Kena Kasa B'Chola Osios Rabasi, Aval Kan Shehin Aruchos Rak Ba'Archan V'Lo Barachman Im Kain Einan Osios Rabasi Umutir Lasos Kain. He says that what's a large letter? A large letter is when it's a symmetrical large letter. But here it wouldn't be a large letter. I'm not sure why it wouldn't be a large letter, but the Shach's only point was make it longer. Like if there's a kuf, make it longer. If there's a lamed, make it longer. Right? He's only talking about making the letters longer. He's not talking about making them wider. So therefore, he says that would be okay. So he says, and if you ask, then why don't you do that by the Aseres Pnei Haman? Just make it like, when you expand the picture one way, one way, height this way, not that way, right? Just do it that way. So sham iyvshi, you can't do that. The reit sarakshi hariach al gabi hariach v'levena al gabi levena, because there the bricks have to be on top of the bricks and the white needs to be on top of the white. Kosh kazem megillah tezayim abeiz v'im yasa aruchos v'tzaros ein ze hariach v'lo levona. If you make it long and not wide, so then that's not considered. That's not considered the bricks on top of the white. I don't know why that is. I'm not sure why. You're still going to be lining them up that way. But anyways, that's what the... So at least this question at least was addressed, I found, by Rav Chaim there. Okay, so with that, we can move on to Reish Ayin Gimel. So back in the tour, in Reish Ayin Gimel... So this is a let's see. So this is all pretty much straight out of the Gemara. It says Shir Hagilyon Lamata Dalid Etzpo. So I'm reading out of the tour here that the shir on the bottom, meaning you take a look at a blank piece of parchment, like, okay, what do I do with this? So he says, well, you start measuring it out. That there's actually margins. There are set margins. If you like on the top of a word file, right? You could decide which type of margins you want to do. So these are the Torah margins. That at the bottom of it, there needs to be four etzbaos begodel, four thumb widths, ulemala gimel, and on top there needs to be three thumb widths. So what is that measure? Um, So in the book Inside Stam, right? So he figures out that would be about 5 centimeters or so. Sorry, about 8 centimeters. So 8 centimeters on the bottom and 6 1/8 centimeters on the top. That's the that's what's supposed to be. And then between each column, there should be 2 of these thumb-widths. So therefore, there should be, at the beginning of every urea, right? Urea are the panels that have anywhere from 3 to 8, we learned last week, columns on it. At least, kerochev etzba, the width of a finger, the chedei tfira, as well as enough to sew, meaning a godel plus some sewing space. So that way when you sew the ureos together, when you sew the panels together, there'll be 2 etzbos between every column, and between every line, I'm not sure what he means by this, kamolo rochav shita, the width of a shita, the width of a line. I'm not sure exactly. I'm not sure what he means, unless he just means that all the lines should be equal. I'm not sure. Right? Uvein kol sefer v'sefer dalet sheitan, and then between each sefer, I mean, at the end of, we just finished Bereishis this past week. So right at the end of Bereishis, I think often, at least nowadays, the Bereishis ends at the top of a line. There should be 4 empty lines. The top of a column. So then there's 4 empty lines before you begin Shmos. And then you begin the beginning of the 5th line. So then you need at the beginning and end of the Sefer Torah enough that it could be tied around the amud, around the pillar, meaning around the Eitz Chaim, and another 2 etzbos that should be left over so that you have space from the Eitz Chaim until you begin Bereishis, or from Yisrael until you get to the Eitz Chaim. Okay? So those are the standard sizes for the Sefer Torah. Now I will put in so very good. So it seems, yes, it seems like they're giving a shear, right? It seems like they're giving a size. So this is the way that it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, pretty much, I think, word for word. I'm just looking here in the Shulchan Aruch and see that it's word for word, and we don't really see the Nosei Kelim arguing about it. Yeah, Nosei Kelim don't really bring them up, bring it up either. Now there are in the book Inside Stam, he brings up the idea that people that buy that in the smaller Sifrei Torah, so then it doesn't match up, right? That they end up being a lot smaller. In the small Sifrei Torah, he says they generally make them 3.75 centimeters and at the top and 5 centimeters. On the bottom. So how do you defend that? So his answer to that is to be proportional. That he quotes here, that's why I couldn't find it. Yeah, he says if I want to make a smaller Sefer Torah, everything should be reduced proportionally, right? So as long as it's proportional, so then it would be okay. So however, that idea is not found anywhere on the page, right? It's not found anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. Who does he quote in the footnote? He says Kach Mavur Medivri HaRitva Bava Basra Daf Yudalad. The problem is, we don't have a Ritva on Baba Basra. So, at least I don't. In my set, it could be in the Masada Rav Kook. Maybe they found it later on. I don't know. I was going to chance to check the Bar Ilan to see if it was there. Yeah, I don't know. If no Rishon said it, you could hear Rishon saying it, right? It would make sense that somebody would say it, that it would therefore be as long as it's proportional, it would be okay. He says also that at least b'diev, there is an idea of making smaller, and the Gemara itself mentions it, that for chumashim the margins could be smaller. So what are chumashim? Chumashim are independent svarim that are written. That if you write the chumashim separately, or chumashim in Tanakh, so then they could be a little bit smaller. So maybe they're relying on that for the purposes of the smaller Sifrei Torah that are written. So this also has a carryover to Hilchos Megillah, to those Vilna Gaon Megillahs, because there's another halacha that you cannot make a Sefer Torah, that if those are going to be the margins at the top and bottom, what you call the header and the footer, right? The header and the footer cannot combine to be more than the body, would be the right word, right? So you can't have more space on top and on bottom combined than you would in the body in the middle. So there is a bit of an issue with regards to those Megillahs that we talked about earlier, what is known colloquially as the Vilna Gaon Megillahs, because they're only 11 lines high, and unless you write in a large font, so then you're going to have more space on top and on bottom than you will otherwise. So he writes in this book, in the book Inside Stam, as he's, I wouldn't say railing against the 11-line Megillahs, but you can tell he's sort of not such a fan of them. Where is that piece with the Megillah here? There. So, that often these are not written with the right side. They're written usually... he says, while the vast majority of 11-line Megillahs are actually 15 centimeters in height, the division of the written area and the margins is unfortunately not as we outlined above. Instead of having a written area of 7.6 centimeters, which would necessitate using a smaller print size that is smaller than, use a smaller print size in order to get 4.5 at the bottom, 3 on the top, and you would need 7.6 centimeters in order to cover both of them, they just make the margin smaller. That's the way that they're traditionally made. I mean, most Megillah, the secret is, most mezuzahs, tefillin, and Megillahs, and Torahs are all written the same way nowadays, right? They're all, it's not like a sofer sits down and starts writing out and seeing where the line ends. They're all following a preset text. He says the way these are made is that they're often made not with those margins that we have traditionally. So he says that in order to fulfill this chumrah of the gra, this supposed chumrah of the gra, which combines with other chumras in order to come with this 11-line Megillah, he says you end up usually sacrificing the din in the Gemara, which the Gemara says gives a specific amount of margins that you'd be able to use. Now, yes, it's true that proportional is probably okay. At least proportional would qualify as being l'charchila. But you realize the higher what your halachic values that you're balancing here, you're probably coming out a little bit unbalanced. Now he does have the next question as that he says fine. So the way he has this whole book set up is just question answer. So the next question is fine. So I asked the sofer to create an 11-line Megillah with margins like a Sefer Torah in order to have a super Mehudr Megillah, right? But then the price that he quoted me was 3 times the price of a regular Megillah, right? So why is that? What happened? So that's where he explains that the margin, he would have to reset the entire thing because the margins of a Torah would then outsize the body, in which case he sort of had to create it from scratch. That's A. B, it required a lot more cloth. And C, it says anytime you're asking for something one in a kind, you're obviously going to be paying a significant premium on it. All right, so anyways, I think that's all I have to say on the 11-line Megillahs. Okay, so that's with regards to that shear. What about the next line? So truth is, the Tur Shulchan Aruch, it really all just lines up here. So why don't we just stay in the Tur? He says, "V'lo yima taksav." Actually, you know what? Which order should we go in? Before we go on, let's go actually to the page of the Shulchan Aruch, which is I think page 4 in the source sheet. So So the Shulchan Aruch, again, is pretty much straight out of what the Torah says, but this idea of the four lines between the Svarim, between Bereishis and Shmos, between Shmos and Vayikra, so there he speaks about that in the first Piskei Tshuva. So in Piskei Tshuva, Reish Ayin Gimel Aleph, he says, "I am a Dagel Miravava, Lekaman Simon Ayin Reish Hey, Shekasu B'Shem HaTosfos." Sorry, this is the Noda Behuda talking. Sheiludalat Shitin Tzarich Lios BeEmtza Hadaf Dafka, Aval L'Sayim Sefer Echad B'Sof Hadaf Ulahatkel Sefer Sheachron Berosh Hadaf. He says that whole thing that you need to have four lines. That's if you're in the middle of a column, right? So you end in a column, then you begin four lines down. But if the Sefer ends at the end of a column and the next one begins at the next column, so you don't have to do that. L'hadchal sefer she'achron b'rosh hadaf, afili yaniach panoi dalet shitin eino rish. Actually, you shouldn't do that. Right, but to finish a sefer at the end of a column and to begin the next one at the beginning of the column, even if you leave a four-line difference, you shouldn't do that. That's the way that's what he says. You shouldn't do that. You should always end svarim in the middle of a column. So he says, "Achim b'tashbeitz chelak al simin kufayin hay kasev d'mashi tzrichu chum laniach dal sheet and bein chumish l'chumish l'mitzvah b'lechudhu below li'ikum." He says, however, the Tashbeitz says that this idea of having the four lines is not ma'akev. Mishum hachim istaber d'leikak peidaba. They don't have to be makbet on this milta. Bein shihu elu adal sheet and be'emtza daf obit chilaso besofa oksasan besofa oksasan bechilaso. Right? Bein kach afilu l'charchila shapetam. He says that it would be okay. He says, and even be called l'chachila. Where is he getting this from? So truly, he's getting it from the Rambam. The Gemara itself never said it, but the Rambam, when he records these halachos, he just sticks in, oh, and by the way, none of these halachos are ma'akev, right? This should all be considered guidance, but this doesn't necessarily mean that if you are missing any of these measurements, that the Megillah, that the Torah, or Megillah for that matter, is actually going to be pasul. And that is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, three sifim later, meaning he gets you all worked up about Yishirim, and then in Sif Hey, in the Shulchan Aruch, says, by the way, kol eil dvarim enam elul mitzvah mina mufchar v'im shina kasher, and if you change it, it's kasher. So it's a bit of a question as to change what, actually. Sorry about that. I just wanted to recall, how does the Rambam know that? Yeah. So the Kesef Mishnah says, how did the Rambam know that? So the Rambam knew that because he remembered the Gemara that we learned last week. Because on that daf, it talks about Rav Huna, who wrote the 70 Sifrei Torah, and it says that he could never figure out how to make the height equal the circumference of the outside of the Torah, right? Remember that? So he says you couldn't do that, and then I forget, maybe it was Rav Ashi, one of the other Amorayim, was able to figure it out right away. Right? He wrote one Sefer Torah, and like lo and behold, it all worked out. So the Rambam says, so you mean to tell me that Rav Huna wrote 70 Pasul Sefer Torahs? Right? So the answer is, no, he didn't write 70 Pasul Sefer Torahs. He wrote 70 Sefer Torahs where he couldn't get the measurements to work out exactly. But don't worry, having the measurements working out exactly is not ma'akev, is not 100% necessary. Now, there's two questions that one can sort of raise on that. He says, number one, how do you know that Rav Ashi didn't write 70 Pasul Sefer Torahs, right? maybe they were all Pasul. Maybe that's what he's complaining about. Especially if you don't assume that the 70 the 70 sounds a little bit like a Guzma number, as we call it in the Daf Yomi Shir. Like it's a, I don't know if we've had any Guzma numbers in Sheldon's duration in Daf Yomi Shir yet. But, that's what Aryeh would. He would like, whenever we talk about some guy living 400 years, all of a sudden Aryeh would just yell out, Guzma, Guzma. It's not, whatever. So that's number one. Number two is that it's unclear what on that daf is ma'akev and what isn't. Meaning, there's a specific, that story is about one specific aspect. So are you going to tell me that everything on the daf is not ma'akev? So that's what's coming up in this machlokas in the Piskei Tshuva, right? That that the Noda Behuda said that you can't have one sefer end at the bottom and the next one begin at top because that's against the Gemara Menachos. And says the Tashbit, what do you mean? None of that. That whole daf is all guidance. That's not going to be considered to be ma'akev. Also wanted to just quote two thirds of the way into that Piskei Tshuva. Right. It says also va'ayin v'nodu b'Yehuda tinyan achilik yoredeya simin kufayin tes. So then there's also about 2/3 of the way in. So he quotes a nodu b'Yehuda in Chelik Beis, although Marduri Tinyana was written by his son, was written by dad, which one? Shmuel, right? It was written by Shmuel, right? So he was written by the son of Shmuel ben Amichai Sefer Torah Shekasav Hasofer. So this tshuva happens to be from him. Meaning, if you go through Nodav Yehuda Madura Tinyana, the second volume, it was all published after the Nodav Yehuda passed away. Meaning, his son went through not just like a year or two, like I think like a decade or two after Nodav Yehuda passed away. So the son went through his old letters and whatever was never actually published, he put together, and then he added in some of his own tshuvos as well. So this would be an example of one of his own tshuvos that he added in. So b'sefer Torah shekasav asofer b'sof sefer shmos b'chol masehem b'sof hayaria v'lo iniach afilu shita achas ulamala hidchil sefer vayikra v'gamkin lo iniach shum shita. Right. So he had at the end of shmos ended at the bottom, and vayikra began at the top. V'chasav shetoras emes b'fi hatashbeitz hanal. And he wrote that the Torah is true like the tashbeitz. D'rak l'chadchila tzarech laniach dalet shitin, uv'dyevet ein tzarech umihu, ilo shavik revucha klal b'vadai pasal afadyevet. He says, no, but if you didn't leave any space at all, meaning there has to be some amount of space, either maybe at the end of the line or beginning of the line, some kind of thing that's going to be distinct. V'hola kimen sheyesh yud gimel tevos achar sham havya beis hey im efshar lachko kol yud gimel tevos v'lichtov osam b'ksav dak ba'ofen sheyishar shita tachtona panoy legamri. So he suggests that taking those letters and sort of making them smaller so that there be a entire an extra line. He says that would be kasher l'chuli alma. Now, I don't know if that would be kasher l'chuli alma. It wouldn't be kasher according to the Vilna Gaon, right? It might not be kasher according to the Mordechai, right? But at least the Nodav Yehuda suggests, again, Nodav Yehuda, actually, this already was the era of the Gra, right? The Nodav Yehuda, I believe, might have been the Vilna Gaon's Masader, no, it wasn't his Masader Kedushin, but the Vilna Gaon went, I believe, to the Nodav Yehuda for a bracha before he got married. Some story like that. So they did meet at that time, and but the son would have been a contemporary then of the Gra. Okay, a couple of other So let's just look at Gimel. Yeah, Gimel and Dalet sort of run are running together, and as we'll see, I don't want to go over my time here, because that's actually what Gimel and Dalet are about. So maybe we'll go through Gimel and Dalet quickly, and maybe leave a little bit of the talking till next week. So Nizdam Nolo, I'm in the Shulchan Aruch itself again. There's not much give and take in the Rishonim, although there is a big machlokas about this section. So it says, "Nabda lo teva bas he osios lo yichto shtaim misochadaf v'gimel chutzladaf." And this is a Gemara. This is also a Gemara in Menachos on that daf. Yeah, that if you get towards the end of the line and there's room for two letters, and you have a five-letter word, so you can't write five letters, two on the line, and three into the column. Right, you will see this sometimes in a Sefer Torah that there's a little bit, you know, that the end of the column doesn't necessarily line up completely, especially in the Sefer Torah that we have in Shul, the ones that have been written more recently with the Tikkun, so then they usually do. But all right, sometimes, you know, so if you have a five-letter word, so at least three of those letters have to be within the margins of the column without going over. Okay. Kosev gimel b'sochadaf v'shtaim chutzladaf. Im ein makom kedei lichtov gimel b'tochadaf yeniach hamakom chalak. He says, and if you don't have room to get three letters in, and it's a five-letter word, so then leave that space empty. V'lo yimshocha osios la'asosan gedolim, and don't lengthen letters to make them large, which you often see some mechaveri seim, which you see sometimes in Sifrei Torah. Kdei lemalos ad sof hadaf. He says, don't worry that. V'teva bas gimel osios yachol lichto v'mena shtayim chutz ladaf. But if it's a three-letter word, you could write two of them outside of the line. Even though there's only a smaller amount inside than outside. But it's only a two-letter word. Okay, so we have a little bit of trouble figuring out what the pattern here is that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting here, right? I mean, it's from the Gemara, but you can't have a... I believe it's all... No, it's not all from the Gemara. I'm sorry. The first section is about the five-letter word, right? But then the continuation is from the Torah. The Torah says if it's a three-letter word, you could write two letters outside the line, meaning he's picking up on the two-letter thing. But if it's a two-letter word, it can't be. So if you're just looking at this Shulchan Aruch, what's the halacha? The halacha is that you can't have a two-letter word, two letters, more than two letters go beyond the line. You can have two letters go beyond the line, even if it's only a three-letter word, but you can't have more than that go beyond the line. You see already the Shachir disagrees. Okay, the Shach is later on. Okay, and then the Ramah then adds in, Vafilu in Beis Osius Hei Miteva Gdol, even if those two letters are from a very large word, V'nirim Kimo Teva Bifnei Atzma, Lo Yichtevim Al Hagilyon. And they look like such that they will look like they're their own letter. I'm not sure why that would be, right? You shouldn't write them on their own. However, then in Sifdalet it says, Nizdam Lo Teva Bas Eser Osius. What if you have a 10-letter word? O Pachus O Yoser, more or less. So based on the Rush, that the Rush said it was it's not about majority, but rather it's about two letters, I would say that it's no good. But he says, if you get half of it on and half of it off, write it that way. But if not, then you should leave a space outside and begin on, you should leave it blank, and begin on the next line. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, you have a bit of a inconsistency. In Gimel, it's an apparent inconsistency. And so if Gimel, he says that if you have a three-letter word, you could potentially have two letters outside. He says that would be okay. How, implying what? That when the Gemara says you could have three and two, it means two letters outside the column are okay, but more than that, it's not okay. Meaning what? Probably it's a halacha in the column, right? The halacha is that you can't have two letters going outside the column. However, in Sif Dalet, he starts talking about the majority of the word. So long as the majority of the word is within the column, it's okay. Implying that it's halacha in the word, not halacha in the column. So potentially you could have four letters sticking out of the column, and that would be okay. So the Shach is bothered by that contradiction, and the Shach also points out, how does Shulchan Aruch know that? He says he's basing that on the Rambam, right? The Rambam says that that's okay, as opposed to the Rush, who sticks with the two-letter thing. So first is why in Gimel is he like the Rush, and Dalet is he like the Rambam? And B, the Shach points out that in Hilchos Tefillin, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you can't have more than two letters go beyond the line. Right? So why in Hilchos Tefillin does he say you can't have more than two letters go beyond the line? While here, he seems to be okay with more than two letters going beyond the line. So having to sort all that out is something that probably we're best waiting off till next week to figure out. All right? Okay, but and Sif Hei is where he tells you that this is all not Ma'akif. Of course, it's still unclear what is and what isn't. But, all right.